Okay, we're recording. I have 8:14 Eastern as the time that we call the meeting to order. Let's go ahead and get started here. Ethan, do you want to go ahead and give the treasurer's report?
I can. And I'm going to do what I usually do, which is give the full previous year and then this year to date. 2019, we opened the year with $29,553.22. We closed the year with $29,875.11. And essentially our only income of any meaningful amount was Spreadshirt. We made $137.30 from Spreadshirt. Then there was a few dollars of interest, you know, and some things like that. We had some expenses last year of fees in the form of some bank fees for some paperwork that I think we talked about this last meeting that I had done that somehow didn't work properly. And so they were charging us fees. I finally got it straightened out for real. And we got those fees refunded because we had done the right thing. It just wasn't, for whatever reason, it wasn't entered properly. So those fees were refunded in 2020, but we had $180 of fees on the books in, I'm sorry, let me back that up. That was 2018 into 2019. It was refunded in 2019. So they were refunded, but there are fees on the books. Not 100% clear looking at the book here why. Okay. I understand what I'm seeing here. I show fees in red, but it's because they refunded partially from 2018. So it shows a net profit in 2019, but it was not profit. It was a refund from fees in 2018. 2020, we opened the year in 2020 with that same $29,875.11. We have year to date made $1.43 in interest. There is no other activity on our accounts, although Matthew said that we have some pending Spreadshirt fees that just haven't cleared yet that should be in very shortly. So that's the treasurer's report for 2019, fiscal year 2019 and 2020 year to date.
Okay, well then I guess our next agenda point is election of officers and board members. I'm just assuming that everybody is going to be reelected to the same positions with Colin, Ethan, Richard, Peter, and Ian all being directors. I would be president and treasurer. Matt would be vice president and Gary be continuing as secretary. So
I think in the absence of having anyone else here, you know, that's pretty much what we have to do.
Oh, yeah, good point. And I see Peter join the meeting. do we want to, how do we do this? Do we need somebody to move to,
Richard and Peter are here. Sorry.
So do we need somebody to make a motion to elect us, or do we just do it as a point of business and move on? I can't remember how we did it last year.
I move to adopt that slate as read unless there's any dissent.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Okay. Pete, did you connect to audio there? Doesn't look like it. Okay, well, of the members that could vote, that was unanimous approval. So on to old business, that would be Gary's continued infrastructure update, which I know he said is kind of a long piece.
I'll do my best to keep this short. All right. So number one, one of the things that came out of the last board meeting, I believe, was that we decided that we were going to move all our DNS under an organization on Gandhi. That did happen. We do have all the Pigeon, ADM, and IAM Freedom domains are now accessible via organization on Gandhi.net. Yeah. I couldn't remember the TLD. So if anybody needs access, let me know. I think right now access is me, John, and Matthew. There might be another in there. I don't remember, and I didn't get a chance to check beforehand. If anybody else wants access, let me know. One of the things we've been trying to do with the infrastructure is make sure that we have redundancies, that people know that multiple people have access to everything, because I don't want to be the reason we fail a bus test, especially during a pandemic. All right. So aside from that, my main focus, unfortunately, since about August, has been that Bitbucket is dropping Mercurial repositories. So I have been scrambling like mad trying to get our shit off of Bitbucket and get us a situation for that. A lot of you already know that I have gotten a sponsored Kubernetes cluster on DigitalOcean. We pay nothing for it. It is gratis to us as an open source foundation, blah, blah, blah. I have to renew it each year. It's August or September. I got to do it. It's not a big deal. Anyways, we have nearly everything moved to that now, aside from Track, the Instant Messaging Freedom Wiki, and email. Working with Richard, we have worked out a plan that once we finish getting Track migrated, I'll tell you where that's going shortly, that we're going to repurpose Nicobar. That's the VM that's running Track. That's pretty much the only thing. We're going to repurpose that to become our MX, or to become our mail server. So all the email is going to be moved over there. That's something that's going to happen in the future. We don't have it all planned out yet, but it's going to happen then. But so the Bitbucket migration stuff, we have to be finished with that by May 30th. The date is kind of flimsy. First they said June 1st. Now it's May 30th, whatever. So we got to get all of our stuff off of that. To make that happen, as you all know, when I first took over Pigeon, I basically shut down our Mercurial server. So what I've done in the meantime is I've created a new tool for Mercurial hosting that's now running on the Kubernetes cluster. And I know one of the things we really wanted to do was we wanted to stop running stuff ourselves. Unfortunately, this Bitbucket thing has told me one thing, that we definitely can't trust other companies to keep doing the things we want to do, which is unfortunate, but I've got mostly everything figured out. Like I said, we'll go into more of that later, but it's fine. We also retired planet.pigeon.im because no one's posted it to since at least before 2016. I can't remember the exact year. The plan for Track is I'll be picking that up in June or July. One of the things with the Bitbucket migration was we had some sub projects, namely Gplugin and Talkatoo, that were using Bitbucket issues for their issue tracking. Since those are also Mercurial repositories, they're going to get deleted at the end of May. So we had to figure out an issue for that. What we decided to do right now is we spun up an instance of JetBrains UTrack, which is at issues.imfreedom.org. That ties into our JetBrains hub instance, which is a central authentication thing, does all sorts of fancy stuff. It's great. And I wrote a tool called UTrack import to import Bitbucket issues into UTrack because there was nothing for that. John here.
To stop you there, just as a side note, we get a free license from JetBrains for UTrack because of our open source status.
Yes. And we're also using TeamCity right now. We also have an open source license on that. Hub, you don't need an open source license. It's free to everyone for as many users as you want. But we do have a relationship with them to get free licenses for that. What was I saying? So I was talking about UTrack import. So John had started looking at what it would take to, so one of the reasons we picked UTrack was they had scripts to import from Track. That was like the number one reason of like, okay, yeah, this is cool. John spent a lot of time trying to make it work.
Almost a month.
And failed every step of the way. Not to John's fault. It's because their script sucks. So,
and our Track is just a ridiculous mess.
Yeah, the amount of data.
It's so old, right?
We upgraded it to 1.2 because that was a requirement of the scripts. So that introduced a whole shit ton of other problems that have gotten most of them worked out. But whatever. Originally, I was going to take their UTrack scripts, which is a bunch of Python, to figure out how to do the Bitbucket issue stuff, but it turned out that it's a ton of Python written by a lot of hardcore Java developers, and the code is really, 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 really hard to follow with lots of factories and stuff. That's why I wrote a new tool to do it. Part of that was also so that I could abstract it out, so that I could just import into a format and then dump it out and let it do it, so that we could make Track do it. So that script, I'll be picking that back up after we're finalized with the Bitbucket migration.
I'm sorry if I didn't understand this, but so we're migrating, we're leaving Track behind entirely.
Ideally, yes.
And moving to UTrack.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we also aren't we also use, so we're only using pull requests on Bitbucket. We're not using tickets on Bitbucket.
Correct.
I was thinking we were using tickets too, but we're not. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we're just using pull requests on that. So the one thing that really stands out yet for the Bitbucket migration is, wow, I jumped all through my notes, is we need to figure out a way to do pull requests. What we're most likely going to do is use ReviewBoard, which is written by Christian Hammond, which all of you should know is a former Pigeon developer. There's one thing kind of blocking us right now, and that's authentication. Right now, he doesn't have anything for OAuth in there, and it's a licensed thing, but he's like, I'll give you guys a license, it's fine. Something else to make it tie into UTrack, which I might just do because I can't exactly wait for them because I want to get this done and off my plate so I can actually work on Pigeon. But so I have an instance of review board set up at reviews.imfreedom.org. So I've put all of the like issue tracking stuff, the stuff that could be shared between Pigeon, Finch, ADM, LibPurple, all of that is running on an imfreedom domain now. With my other new business, we can discuss well how that would work. The goal was there that, you know, that would be like the hosting thing because that the foundation that is there for these projects. So, you know, put all that there. But I do have an instance of review board running up there. The benefit of review board is that you don't need to host somebody's repository for them to make a contribution. That was a huge thing because we do not want to get into the code hosting business because it's only a matter of time before you're turned into aware sites or an explicit pornography site. So we do not want to be hosting random repos for people around the world.
And by time, you mean 38 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
and it would also have the potential problem of us then becoming subject to GDPR requests for the whole repository instead of individual commits or whatever.
Right. Not to mention SOPA and a whole bunch of other shit we just do not want to deal with.
So that's actually a concern that I've had as far, and I don't want to derail this, but as far as continuing to self-host is things like GDPR, et cetera. Is that a problem?
I'm not sure.
I mean, it's not in that we're not in Europe.
Right. But right. Like if somebody sends us a GDPR request to be forgotten from the repository, I don't think we can comply.
And I also don't think we have to because we're not in Europe.
Right. But like, and if we
threw some of this last year for the Ingress game that Gary and I used to play, there was a big to do about GDPR stuff. And I dug through it and found out that the project itself, even though we're under the I Am Freedom umbrella with the projects, because the projects themselves are not involved in commercial activity, they are not required to be GDPR compliant.
So an I Am Freedom is also not involved in commercial activity. I mean, we're explicitly right, nonprofit.
Yeah, so. we're explicitly a nonprofit. Okay. So that should buy us some protection.
Okay, good.
Cool. So just trying to get a little bit back on track here. So the remaining stuff that's on Bitbucket right now is mostly just the core repositories where we're doing pull requests. I have most of those already mirrored to, oh, so I didn't mention this. So the new tool I wrote for the code hosting is called HTKeeper. It is running keep.imfreedom.org. It is Mercurial hosting, public polls over HTTP or HTTPS, and you can push and pull from it via SSH. If anybody wants repositories there, let me know. I got to do a little bit more to, I want to tie it more into Hub, but it's not tied into that right now because it was written before we went to Hub. So if you need Mercurial hosting for stuff, I'm trying to keep my personal stuff that's on there to a minimum because it's on I Am Freedom domain, but I got to put my code somewhere as a backup right now. So that's all available at keep.imfreedom.org and all of the core repositories. So pigeon/main, gplugin, and pigeon/talkatoo, those are all being mirrored via Bitbucket repository hooks so that whenever something gets merged or change ends up there, it gets pushed out to keep. So those are in sync right now. And if they're not, it's something's broken, I got to fix it, which actually I think I do have to fix it because something's not running in tmux, I just realized. I got to deploy that into a container or something. But that's pretty much it for the infrastructure. I have a quick Pigeon update I forgot to put into the agenda. I don't know if we want to talk about that here or what.
May as well.
All right. Any questions on the infrastructure update or concerns?
No, I do want to say thanks, though. I know this is a huge amount of work. And particularly with Bitbucket shutting us down, this just has to be done, right?
So right.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're very welcome, and thank you for thanking me, I guess, or noticing that it is a lot of work. It's been a lot of shit. I've been through a lot of tools trying to figure out the way to go. Basically, when I stumbled across the JetBrain stuff, which is what happened, I stumbled across it. I was like, oh my God, this stuff's amazing. It's not Atlassian. It's not shit. I have one complaint about U-Track. It doesn't have good emoji support. That's about it, though. But it's got great stuff like
we'll
drafts.
Survive that.
Right. It's got great stuff like drafts. So like if you start typing an issue and then, you know, get pulled away and close the window, you come back, it still has it. It has it in drafts. That's amazing. All right. Anyways, so the quick Pigeon update. So the next Pigeon release is going to be 2.14.0. The plan is that will be the last 2.x release. We'll do 2.x or we'll do 2.14.y if necessary, if there's security issues, so on and so forth. But we just do not have the manpower to be trying to put features into that and trying to get 3.0 at the door, as well as our infrastructure and all that. We just don't have the resources for it. So Pigeon 2.14.0 is stuck on a number of things. Most of them are pretty much Windows-based.
I'm trying to work through those. I just haven't made a whole lot of progress.
Right. I wasn't going to call you out in this, but I've been stuck on the Bitbucket migration, so I haven't had time to look at them. And me setting up a Windows environment is a bad time. Because the VMs just don't like to run on my machine and other stuff. But so we've got to sort that out. One of those is I think it was in 2018 now, there was a Pango CVE that hit HexChat and also hits us because of the version, where if you send a certain Unicode character, you will remotely crash. Just, that's it. So the problem with that is we have to figure out how we can ship, because I got to get all the details from Ian, but there's something about us being stuck on like some version of like GTK 2.6 or something on Windows. And newer versions of Pango won't work right on that, or that won't work with newer versions of Pango, or no, newer versions of Pango, if we try to pull them out of MSys or whatever, those are compiled against a newer version of Glib, but we can't go to a new version of Glib because of some other, it's a whole mess that needs to be sorted out. That's the long and short of it.
Some of that should have gone away with Oscar going away.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That was the thing that was holding us back on glib was okay. Oscar.
Gotcha. We haven't deleted the Oscar code yet. As many of you know, in December 15th of 2017, AOL shut down AIM and ICQ shortly thereafter. Or did they go before? I think they went before. ICQ moved to a new protocol. So nobody uses the Oscar protocol anymore. We haven't deleted the plugin out of our code base yet because there was one crazy user that created a server called AIM Phoenix, which lets you connect via the AIM plugin to their server. I will probably export the plugin, drop it in another repository, and we will just wash our hands of it. That's my plan. I just haven't done it because it's not a big issue to me right now. Something similar to like what we did with libgnt when we pulled it out. We'll just run an HG convert only on that path, fix the build, go from there. And that's the plan. All right, for Pigeon 3, development chugs on. We're close to releasing Gplugin 1.0. We put that on a little bit of the back burner because, all right, so number one, we're doing Gplugin 1.0 because we want to get it into the Debian new queue sooner rather than later. Gplugin is already in Fedora and I think Arch and I forget what else. But 1.0.
Did it make, do you know if it's going to make Ubuntu
2004?
No,
we're not even in the new queue yet. So yeah, best case we have is 2204 or whatever the hell the next LTS is. It sucks, but what are we gonna do?
Well, but we could potentially make one of the point releases in between.
Right.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Missing an LTS is unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Right. That said, I also have an open source account with packagecloud.io. Which does repositories for all the Linux, not all, but nearly all the major Linux distros. We can put them up there. They work as PPAs. They're fine. So Gplugin 1.0, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be in there. I started cleaning up the plugin code in Purple 3 recently, and I found a lot of missing stuff in the API that was done in Purple that really should be in Gplugin. So I'm going through and hashing all that right now. We're getting close on that. Notable things that Gplugin has done recently, and just a quick update on that. So with GObject Introspection, Purple 3 and all of its sub-client or whatever, any client that uses Purple 3 with Gplugin will be able to get native plugins. I have Vala examples as well as Genie examples that compile the native plugins. Python 3, Lua, right now we're kind of targeting Lua 5.3, but it works with 5.1 and 5.2 as well as Lua JIT. And we finally, after 7 years and on and off again development, got Perl 5 working.
Gary, do you have Tickle?
No. If you're going to write...
That was our first plugin language.
If you're going to write the GObject introspection bindings for Tickle, I will write a Tickle loader. I'm not writing the introspection bindings. If you want to write the bindings, I'll write the loader. I'll have it done in a night. It'll be fine.
Maybe someday I'll do it like for April 1st or something.
Sure. We also have a plugin in Gplugin that needs a little bit more work that Ian wrote. How many of you are familiar with TCC, the Tiny C compiler?
Oh, yeah, like for 6502s and stuff like that, yeah?
Well, it works on x86 as well. And the cool part is you can compile to memory. So we have a Gplugin loader that can load C files. So when it queries the plugin, it sees the C file, compiles it, gets the symbols, loads them in, and it goes from there. So you don't even have to compile if your plugin is a single C file. So very cool stuff. We have a little bit of an issue with that right now because of like some FPIC arguments or something. I got to look at it. It's not a big deal. No one's using it. So we've been skipping that. But that said, so once Gplugin gets into Debian NewQ, the Debian NewQ is notoriously slow. I don't think it's going to be too bad. They just got a new leader that goes into place tomorrow, right? Something like that. Not that that makes a difference, but you know, that's just something to keep track of. So aside from that, Talkatoo, for those of you that don't know, Talkatoo is a reimagining of GTK IAM HTML, but with modern development practices. Let's go with that. So we had to remove WebKit 1 from Pigeon 3 because WebKit 1 is deprecated and got removed from all the Linux distributions. So we had to absolutely remove it from Pigeon 3. There was just no ifs, ands, or buts. It had to happen. Pulling GTK IAM HTML in from Pigeon 2 is impossible because that thing is splattered all over the place and it is not easy to deal with, and it is... I was trying to be civil before, but I'm going to say it's a giant hack. Talkatoo is a lot better. There are still a few little hacks, but they're much more manageable. But so Talkatoo is our new conversation widgets. So that includes the input, the format bar, the send button, and the history. The history I wrote originally as a GTK tree view or a text view. We're probably going to move that to a GTK list box. One of the reasons we didn't use the GTK list box in the first place is you can't select across messages. So like if you want to copy paste something. And the reason... So that was a hard no on using it initially, but the more support I've been doing in Pigeon, nobody is pasting me blocks of text. They're sending me screenshots. So it seems like the issue's gone.
Oh, kids these days.
Yeah, I know. Anyways.
I get students who want me to debug their code and they send a screenshot.
Oh, God.
I know. Kids these days.
Well, that said, it means we can use the list box, which is a much better widget for this job. But yeah, so Talkatoo, we'll be picking that back up here shortly after we finish the Bitbucket migration. But the long and end of that story is that Pigeon 3 is still a long way out. But that's my updates right now for that. But once Talkatoo gets to a... So Talkatoo is like, you can use Pigeon 3 right now, but you're missing such, I'll say, essential use features as like, it doesn't auto-scroll the text. Once the history gets to the end, it doesn't auto-scroll. Matthew can talk about how much ADM got hit by that after the the new version of macOS, I can't think of its name, where there was a bug, they changed some, or Mac changed something, so ADM wasn't auto-scrolling, and people freaked out. That's the problem Talkatoo has right now. I just haven't coded it.
Yeah, nobody likes that.
Yeah, it's a pain.
It reminds me of Slack.
Yeah.
With the threads that just tell you there's new messages and don't show them to you.
Yeah,
that's... I will say I've been using Finch 3 for, I don't know, years.
Is a modern build?
Well, I can't build past a certain point. I don't know what point I'm at exactly, but...
Like, you should be able to build. There's a few tweaks we need to make.
I haven't tried since I've been on Buster. There was some problem before I moved to Buster.
Okay.
Some point I couldn't move past on, I think, G plugin.
Okay, yeah.
But
I think
at any rate, yeah, I've been using it for years. It seems fine. I mean, it's definitely not right, but like it works.
Right, right. So we're basically, nobody's really running Finch right now, a modern Finch that I'm aware of. I just don't have time to run a third client because I have my normal Pigeon 2, which is where I keep everything. I have my Pigeon 3 dev, and I just don't, I can't manage another one. One of the things that we'll be changing soon is we didn't change the so name for libgnt when we pulled it out, and we should probably do that. A lot of you may not know, we took libgnt out of the Pigeon code base and put it into its own repository. There's a lot of reasons for that. The number one thing is that so it can be its own focus, because like a lot of people are just like, oh, I'm going to build this thing on ncurses. I'm like, have you ever heard of GNT? And they're like, no. I'm just like, ugh. Okay. Like even in Debian, you install GNT by installing it from like Finch data or something as the package name. It has no limelight for it to like grow and develop its own community. So that's one of the things of pulling it out to its own repo is supposed to be. But Pigeon 2.14, I should mention too, is going to be the first Pigeon 2 release to use the external libgnt. So that one is obviously going to be the same so name. It's going to continue the so version from when it was in tree. But that has a release 2.x.y branch and a default branch, and default is the gnt3 and 2.x.y is 2.x.y. But we should probably change the so name on, when I say so name too, I mean, right now it says libgnt.so. So name is the libgnt part or GNT. So libgnt3 should be libgnt3.so. That would actually save my ass when it comes to developing, because if I compile and install Pigeon 2 and then try to compile something that needs Pigeon 3 and it depends on GNT, it fucks everything up. I got to install it, whatever. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, and the GNT3 changes to use glib signals and stuff definitely, I mean, it's wildly incompatible, right?
Yeah, yeah. And actually, that's a thing we should mention about compatibility here too, real quick. So I've been getting a lot of heat because I'm kind of not trying to maintain compatibility with Pigeon 2. That's my initial thought. But the thing is, at some point, I'm going to come back on the back end and try to figure out a way to extend an olive branch to all the old plugins to bring them in. But right now, we can't let old ideas.
That's what we did when we moved to 2, and that's definitely the way to handle it. We had a compatibility. You were around, right?
Yeah.
When 2 released, right? There was a compatibility header, and it had a zillion macros and like.
Which 2.x is still carrying.
We're still carrying. I'm sure you can still compile a 1.x freaking plugin and to have some level of success. But yeah, don't. No backwards compatibility. I mean, it has literally been longer than some of our users have been alive.
Yeah.
That we've maintained compatibility. So.
Well, that said, I know I talked to you a little bit about this, Ethan. I wrote a proof of concept G plugin loader that could load a compiled Pigeon 2 plugin in G plugin and basically remap all the calls. It's really weird. It's really gross. But if somebody wants to pick it up and do a bunch of funky stuff with memory and hiding symbols and shit, it is definitely, it's going to need somebody to tinker with it like that. It should be doable. It should be workable. I'm not going to finish it because I know we're going to end up carrying it forever and then nobody's going to go to that. But that said, the reason I want to do all this on the back end is I'm trying to make libpurple 3 have all the features so that that'll bring people to port their plugins. So that's stuff like message reactions, inline message attachments, inline images, threads even, fully fleshed out voice and video that works. Like we should be having this call in Pigeon, not in Zoom. That's my goal for Purple 3 is to get it to handle all of that stuff. So people are like, I don't want to use this old API anymore because I can't do any of these things. So I'm going to rewrite it to this one. That's going to change a lot of stuff, but it gives me all these features. So that's the carrot I'm trying to dangle in front of everyone. So, but yeah, I could ramble forever, but let's stop me from rambling. But that's the majority of my updates.
Okay. So then if we move on to new business, a couple months ago, I renewed the iamfreedom.org domain name. Because it was within 2 months of expiring. The price on that was $145.80 that obviously I'd like to be reimbursed for.
I move that we reimburse John for whatever costs he had for renewing IamFreedom.org.
Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, yay?
Yay.
Aye.
Hey, that sounds unanimous to me. Okay, and then the other new business was Gary wanted to talk about the state of the corporation and the possibility of dissolving.
So this idea came out of, it is really hard for us to do anything, and that includes myself. So case in point, like I messaged John, what was it, like 2 weeks? Whenever John's email came out with the date for this meeting, it was me going, oh, hey, it's April. Like, we should probably figure out the meeting. So I'm not trying to suggest that we need to dissolve the corporation, but I wanted to bring it up because it seems like we're all just doing this out of like hope or need or like guilt, maybe is the right word, but like nobody seems to really be wanting to do anything to, I don't want to phrase it that way. It seems like we're not fulfilling our end of the bargain. And like I said, that includes all of us. Like, I'm not trying to single anyone else. I'm doing just as bad as everyone else. And it, like, I feel like we should definitely talk about it because it seems like we're kind of doing a disservice to our goals, I guess. So I'm wondering if anybody has any thoughts on that or what.
So I don't remember exactly. I'm getting old. I don't remember exactly how all this started or I mean, I remember the impetus and all that, but I don't remember who was here on day one. I know I was here on day one for I Am Freedom. As a matter of fact, I've been in this treasurer seat since day one for I Am Freedom. I am, I believe, the only officer who has remained in the seat for 12 years, right? Or 13 years or something.
And this is our 13th year?
Yeah.
Yep. And I agree that I believe, I would not say that we have lost our way, but I would say that we never had a way. We had a raison d'etre or whatever the French is. And it hasn't particularly gone away, but it certainly feels much less urgent than it did 13 years ago. I mean, the whole point was that we could pile up a little bit of money that nobody was going to take away from us in case we had a problem with one of the major IM providers. Well, if you look around in 2020, there are no more major IM providers, right? I mean, there's Slack and there's Discord and there's, you know, of Keybase and Keybase is not major. And there's a number of services that have messaging as part of their service. But it's not like it was when I got started in 20 freaking years ago. When there
just
was
call a it last century.
Yeah. In the last century, in the previous century, when I got started, it's not the same landscape that it was then. And I think the war chest idea seems less urgent. I don't know if it is, but it definitely seems less urgent than it was then. And we have talked off and on about every 2 or 3 years for the last 13 years about trying to find another purpose that we could pour our time and our energy and our treasure into and produce something. But the fact of the matter is that, and Gary, you've got renewed energy here and are doing a lot more stuff these days than we saw happening for a while there. But we've all grown older and busier, and we've got, you know, things going on and other jobs. I mean, we were all in college, right? And stuff like that when this started, right? Maybe not all of us, but many of us were at that time. So, yeah, this comes up periodically. And even dissolution has come up before. And I don't have a problem with it, although we have almost $30,000 that we should do something meaningful with and reserve, I believe, a significant chunk of it for the purpose of the original foundation, which was preserving the autonomy and freedom of open source software. I mean, we've talked about things like maybe giving a chunk of it to SFLC or EFF or SPI or, you know, something like this, right? And I think that would be the responsible thing to do. But I also think that we, as we've discussed many times, if we could come up with a place to put it that's meaningful, then we can put it that place, right? We had talked about having Gary do some work and actually, you know, hiring for that work. I mean, that was a year ago and life has happened since then, right?
Then Bitbucket decided we had to move, so it was.
Yeah, right. Life has happened since then, right? But at any rate, so I mean, I guess just as a case of historical perspective, I think while it does seem like not a lot is going on, and while I am very open to the idea that we might choose to do something different, whether that is dissolve or repurpose or rebrand or whatever, I do want to point out that we have never been an organization that does a lot. Our existence is almost the goal, right? But it's just that the threat seems much less urgent now than it did 13 years ago. We were coming off of an actual lawsuit 13 years ago, right? Whereas now, I mean, I don't even know what year it was, you know? And so it seems very different, right, than it was then. Anyway, that's my...
Right, and the landscape has changed quite a bit, like you said. Now it's not so much the IAM providers going after the client developers. They're going after the users that are using alternative clients for breach of terms of service. They're not wasting their time and money trying to sue the third-party client developers anymore, unless there's an actual trademark violation.
Yeah.
Now, all that said, I don't have an opinion one way or the other on what we should do with the corporation. If we want to keep it around, I'll do what I can to help. I'll stay in the president's chair. That's fine. If nobody else wants it, it doesn't matter to me. But if we want to dissolve it and put the money somewhere, okay, fine.
I would like to echo John's sentiments there. And like I said, my main point was I wanted to bring this up so we could talk about it. If we just want to keep the corporation around and keep it existing, that's perfectly fine as well. I just want us to be clear on that that's the goal and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I also don't have a strong feeling, although I will say that, I mean, as you all know, I've been trying to get out of this treasurer seat for 3 years now or something. And the big reason is not that I don't want to do the job. It's more that I don't feel like I've been giving it the time it deserves. And so we have things like bank fees that pile up and then I have to go get them back, right? Rather than having caught that. In that particular case, like I moved and I didn't notice for months that I wasn't receiving statements because it was not on my mind that, oh, I need to be looking for these IMF statements, right? I mean, I was like, I'm in another state. I don't know what's going on, you know, and it just didn't cross my mind that I needed to be thinking about these IMF statements, right?
Say at this point, as an Australian or as a non-American, a friend of mine recently moved to Washington State to work with Valve, and I didn't realize how messed up your banking system is.
Oh yeah,
him trying to get money to the bloke across the road, it's just insane. And now I've become a lot more clear as why the treasurer's position is such a bloody nightmare, and I'm actually kind of glad that we decided to, you know, that it does have to be an American, because holy God, trying to navigate that crap.
Yeah, I can tell you stories. And in fact, John knows because he's in the banking industry, so I don't have to tell him. Yeah. If we were giving it to anyone else, I would have to sit down and talk to them for 4 hours about all the things you actually can't do, even though it would be great and we would love to do it. Because, for example, banks don't cross state lines and, you know, blah, 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 blah. When Luke Shearer and I had to pay, I want to say it was Tomas Wasilczyk, but I'm not sure.
Is that how you say his name?
I believe so, yeah.
I've never heard his last name.
But I'm not sure who it was. At any rate, I had to send a freaking wire transfer to Europe. It took Luke and I together multiple days.
Oh, that was when we were doing the artwork for Pigeon 2.
Right. That's what it was. It was the artwork. And we sent it to... Someone in Europe. It was someone in Europe. I don't remember the details, but you're right. It was the artwork. It was a nightmare. It took days. I had to physically take myself to the bank multiple times with different sets of paperwork because they didn't like what we had the first time, etc. Yeah, it is amazing. This job ain't great. Which is one of the reasons I've wanted to get out from under it. That's the other reason. One, the biggest one is I feel guilty for not doing it right. I mean, honestly, that's the biggest one, but it's also, it's a huge amount of work, right? Not now because we don't do anything, but when we do things, it's a huge amount of work. That's also why, we've had so much, with choosing banks, right? Because, banks are not in every state, and finding banks that we actually have physical access to proved to be a problem over and over.
That's ironically better now than
it used to be because, of the too big to fail and all the banks all folded together. And now there's only two of them. But you know, prior to that, it was even worse than it is now. Right. Anyway, I don't want to rant about it. But that's part of the problem that we have is that when we do have energy, I mean, I have put, not to toot my own horn and not to make excuses, but to put things in perspective, I don't know how many hundreds of hours into this organization effectively to have nothing to show. It's just things that had to happen in order to have an organization, right? Not doing something cool that we could show and say that we did, right? And that's part of the cost that we're choosing to perpetuate if we choose to continue to remain open. Now, I have not been doing that for the past few years for a variety of reasons, mostly because the big stuff we've got under our belts now. Also because just some things have slid. But it happens from time to time that there's this enormous amount of work. And the only reason you do the enormous amount of work is so you can have exactly what you had before you started. It's like paying taxes, right? We don't pay taxes, but we still pay our dues in other ways, in paperwork and, you know, whatever. So at any rate, that's something that we're choosing to do if we choose to remain an active, ongoing organization, which I'm okay with, particularly if somebody else is doing the paperwork. But Gary, your job is another one that is off and on an enormous amount of work, right? Luke and I don't know how many hours Luke and I spent when things were first being set up, you know, getting all of our ducks in a row and all of our papers filled out and mailed in and et cetera. And
right. Anyway. So one thing that I should mention too is one of the issues, and the issue with Spreadshirt, Matthew, correct me if I'm wrong, is that, maybe Spreadshirt wasn't that. Spreadshirt was our filing status, what might've been weird, which I believe you said is taken care of now, Ethan.
I need more information.
Our nonprofit status, I believe, was questionable, or it was that they needed us to have the address right.
I think everything I know of recently has been address related.
Okay.
Our nonprofit status, we have to file by May 15th. Actually, okay. I think May 15th of next year, but I would do it this year. We have to file our e-postcard, but other than that, we should be in good standing. We also have to file with the state of Delaware.
Okay.
Which might actually be overdue. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Again, that's not my job. I don't know whose job that is. I don't even know how it happens.
I went through the bylaws and it looks like that's the president's job. I looked at that a couple weeks ago, so don't quote me on that. We need to double check it. But I think it's supposed to be the president's, and then you probably picked it up at some point for some reason.
I've done it off and on, but I haven't done it recently, so I'm guessing it hasn't been done.
Yeah, so
probably not. And I'm guessing, Ethan, that you did it because Sean didn't when he was president.
I will decline to answer that question, but there are a large number of things that I found out about only when I got notification that our status had been lost in some fashion.
Yeah.
That's another thing that don't let your status lapse because, wow, that's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, and I think we're close to that. So that's something we definitely need to follow up on soon, very soon. The reason I brought that up is we need to get the address fixed. So if we are going to keep the corporation around, we have to get the address fixed. Now, in off again communication with you, I found out that our registered agent is CT Corp. We're still not exactly sure how we contact them. So I guess I will take that and figure that out and go from there.
I thought I had given you the information. I have somewhere paper mail from them that will allow us to get in contact with them.
Okay. You gave me the incorporation papers, but I didn't recall seeing anything about CT Corp on there.
They're now called, or they might have been then called, Wolters Kluwer's.
Okay. I'll look into that
it's
and go
from there.
It's
the same company.
Okay.
But at any rate, yeah, I will make sure that we can get in contact with, I'm sure I was the most recent one to be in contact with them.
Okay. Cause like,
I will make sure that we can get in contact with CT Corp.
Okay. Cause, our Spreadshirt stuff is all messed up too. They changed their interface or something and they screwed up all the designs and stuff. And I need to go in there and fix it. But like, if we're not going to get paid out for it, I haven't bothered fixing it cause I've got other shit to do.
So Matthew said he thought they had sent us a payment.
They said that they were going to send us a payment within 3 weeks.
This was when?
Within the last week.
Oh.
It hasn't arrived yet. I just checked earlier today. It hasn't arrived yet. But so I will also point out that a problem that I have mentioned before, but I don't know if it's on anybody's radar, is that we're actually incorporated, I believe, both in Delaware and Washington State. Because Sean is in Washington State. I have never filed anything with Washington State. I don't know anything about that situation. It hadn't really occurred to me until just now that there might be filings. But our address is in Washington State. And so moving it out of Washington State may or may not be a big deal.
Right. I know
and
you mentioned that previously.
We might
want
to talk to SFLC or somebody about that. I know.
I'm gonna vote against SFLC. It takes them 2 weeks to respond to an email. 2 weeks to just go, hi, are you guys able to help me with this? They go, yes, that's fine, we have to do our whatever thing, and it's a pain in the ass. I'd really much rather try to do SFC or someone like that if they're capable.
I have no opinion on that. And I'm willing to say that if it would, this is the sort of thing that if we can spend money on making it fixed and right, that we should just do that.
Right? I agree.
Do that. Yes.
Shouldn't our register agent be able to do most of that?
Maybe. They tend to be really expensive.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we have $30,000. It might cost us $1,000, I think. Okay. You know, it's like that sort of really expensive.
Yeah, but I mean,
they're really, their job is working for businesses that actually have money,
right?
Not nonprofit organizations. So we have, I have done almost all that paperwork myself rather than having them do it for that reason.
Can I say then that perhaps the war chest that was accumulated to fend off the legal stuff should now be used to fend off the accounting crap that we've managed to get ourselves into instead. And once that's been sorted, then we can have the discussion about do we wind up or continue. But it sounds to me like the accounting and all that paperwork needs to be sorted out first anyway.
Yeah, and in order
and getting
to
a professional
dissolve,
to do that.
In order to dissolve, we will have to prove that we're in good standing with all of the interested parties. So
right.
I mean, yeah,
we've
got to
do all that work.
Decide we want to be done. We have to do all this paperwork.
Okay.
So we have to do it all anyway, whether we stay together or
yes,
just
we do. I have dissolved two businesses in the past several years, or been party to the dissolution of two businesses in the past several years, and the majority of the paperwork is convincing all of the governments involved that you don't owe them any money.
Makes sense. So all right. So I think that pretty much covers this business. That for better or worse right now, regardless, we're going to keep going. And once we have everything in good standing, then we can reassess.
I would suggest.
Can I move the agent? We approach the agent and get them to sort this shit out for us and pay them. They can do anyway.
I second that.
Yeah. I will third and motion.
Okay. Well, then it sounds like we have a motion in a second to spend a reasonable amount of money to get all of this sorted out. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Hey, that sounds unanimous to me.
I want to mention that the times to make these decisions are probably, you know, if we can get things sorted in the next couple of months and get the address changed and do whatever needs to be done, then I believe we should make that, decide what we want to do before the end of the calendar year, because our fiscal year is our calendar year. And if we continue to January 1st of 2021, then we are a corporation in 2021, right? And I'm not saying that we have to decide to close this year, but I'm saying we should, if we're not wanting to do that, then we should have a firm understanding that that's not what we want to do by, say, like fall of this year, so that we're not scrambling at the last minute to figure out, do we need to do this by December 31, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. So what if I were to schedule another meeting for us in, say, mid-October?
I think that would be good to
make a final decision.
September, but I don't know how that plays. I was thinking mid-September, but I don't know how that plays with the Northern Hemisphere's holidays and stuff.
That should be fine.
September is fine, too.
Okay, the only reason I didn't suggest September was because I figured with the start of the school year, that'd be rough on Ethan.
All times are rough on me right now, so we'll see. Surely, hopefully, we won't be streaming our lectures in September.
But hopefully not. But I'll keep that. I'll put a calendar reminder for myself to start suggesting something in August so that we can do something in September.
Yeah. Sure. And I think between now and then, we ought to think about what we might want to do if we're not shuttering the doors. Are we content with this, or do we have plans?
Sure. I just want to throw out, my schedule will be crazy. I can give you more detail if you want, but I will be working off-site in New York for, September, probably all of September and good part of October, and maybe I think some of August too. So, I might be able to attend. Okay. It's a big chunk of time. So if it doesn't work out for me, then, we can of course meet without me.
Yeah. And I think we should discuss as the time gets closer, then if there's a particular window in there that's better for you.
Sure.
Then maybe we can work around that. I'm pretty flexible. I mean, evenings I'm pretty flexible myself. I don't know about these other fellows. We have to be careful not to get Peter up at 3 a.m, but
as far as doing an official meeting is concerned, we only need a simple majority for quorum, so we only need 5 of us to be able to make it. So that shouldn't be too hard out of 8 of us. I mean, I know it's been a problem in the past, but I mean, we should be able to figure out something.
I think there's only been one meeting that we couldn't actually hold.
Yeah, but we did have to start a few late because we didn't have the quorum right at time. But
that's true.
But still. Okay, well, Ethan, you still need to get all the treasure stuff over to me.
I dropped a bunch of stuff in a Keybase folder earlier today.
I saw that.
That should have everything other than the physical paper and some account information.
Okay.
So we should get together, you and I, and exchange some account information and things like that. But I think before we do that, we need to get you a signing card, because I believe, as you know, if I just give you access to my account, we're actually in violation of the bank's rules on who can access the accounts, et cetera. So, we need to get you a signing card out, which I should have already done, and that is on me. And we also need to get Colin off of that account. So to remind everyone, the way we have decided to set this up is that the vice president and the treasurer both have access to the accounts. And the reason for that was historically because our president was actually not a U.S. person, and it was a problem to put a U.S. person on the accounts. But now that our president and our treasurer are going to be the same person, again, it makes sense that the other account holder should be not that same person, right? So I think we're going to, assuming Matthew's okay with that, I think we're going to continue with that setup.
Fine with me.
So Matthew will remain on it. I will get signing cards over to get John onto the account, and then Colin and I will be taken off of the account unless there's some compelling reason, for example, that I should remain on it. I don't have a local branch anyway, so I mean, I don't think there is, because I no longer live in Indiana. PayPal, actually, Matthew is the only one that currently has reliable access to. our PayPal account may need some TLC. It never was set up properly for an organization. We have had trouble sharing access among multiple users. I tried today to use the IM Freedom account, right? But the Treasurer account doesn't work.
Well, the one that I gave you yesterday or day before is the IMF Treasurer sub account that I created off of the main account.
Okay,
off of
so
the
it
Vice
does
President
work now.
Account. As if it worked for you, then everything
it worked for me.
I believe okay. works the way that it should from a technical standpoint.
Okay, good. Well, that's the first time that's ever worked. So awesome. Great. And then we'll need to get treasurer at imfreedom.org set over to John.
That's not terribly difficult, but
yeah, that's just an alias. It's fine.
So I don't know. I mean, I have this whole folder full of paper treasurer stuff. Do you want it?
Doesn't matter to me. I mean, if you want to send it and reimburse yourself out of the checking account before you send it, go ahead. I have a safe box that I can put it in that's fire rated and everything. So,
unless anyone is objects, all of the electronic records are in that shared folder, right? I keep them in GNU cache. It's double entry, every, you know, expense, every, you know, income we've had for the past 13 years is in there. I would suggest that unless there's paperwork people want, as long as I'm on the board, I could just hang on to it. I'm happy to ship it to John, but it's like, then you're just going to have it sitting around in your house because like nobody cares about this stuff. Right. I literally never look at the papers because I have the electronic records. Right.
Yeah.
So the important stuff is scanned and is in the folder. So the articles of incorporation and like that stuff is all scanned and is in that Keybase folder. I don't use the paper records. I'm happy to mail them. I'm happy to hang on to them. Whatever people think is best. I mean, I don't want to hide anything for sure. But I also don't want to just make extra work. So
it doesn't matter to me one way or the other.
And there's holes in the paper records that are not in the electronic records from when we changed banks and we had only electronic statements and we, you know, blah, 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 blah. We have the statements that didn't get to me because I moved to a different state, you know, but the electronic entries are all there. So.
As far as getting me on the account as a signer, if they are able to do something electronically, it has to be mailed copies.
Oh, you might be able to do it electronically because you are in a state that has OMB. New York doesn't. So when I did this, Matthew, you might actually be able to get John added without us having to do it paper. I couldn't when I added you and Colin because there's no ONB in New York State. But you might actually be able to go to an ONB and get him added. I will call and ask.
Okay.
Otherwise, it'll be by mail.
I have secure email that is compliant with all the banking regulations that I can send my license and all the other information that they would need from me to them securely.
Oh, that might change things. I will call and ask them. Okay. I will call and ask them. Otherwise, what we did last time was we mailed around pieces of paper.
I just want to throw this out here too. If physical access to a branch is a problem, there are like three of them that are 10 minutes away from me. So,
well, it has to be a signer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just like if this is something that's going to become an ongoing problem, it might make sense to put me as part of the treasurer, give me treasury responsibilities. Because, like I said, there's 10 minutes that way, 10 minutes that way, 10 minutes that way.
It comes up once a year or once every other year. I used to handle it when I went to Indiana. But gotcha. I haven't, obviously, I'm not going to be doing that anytime soon.
Right.
But I think Matthew has one that's like half an hour from him or something, right?
That's correct. It's almost in Indiana.
Is it? Yeah. It's not super miserable, but I'll call them tomorrow, actually, if I can, and find out what we need to do. But at any rate, John, you and I should get together. I need to give you some account credentials and stuff like that.
Okay.
That I don't want to just drop on the key base.
Yeah,
I may even key base them, but I'll key base them to you, not to everybody.
Just let me know when you want to get together. Weekends generally work best for me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, weekends are okay for me too. And then other than that, I don't know. I mean, I think you have, if you want to look in the key base folder and see if you understand what I've put there, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer it. And obviously I'm not going anywhere. So okay. I'm happy to answer anything I can. I will also look up the Wolters Kluwer's /CT thing, Gary, and find out exactly who we should be contacting. I thought I already did that. If I didn't, I apologize. I vaguely recall that I've told you that maybe like 3 times already, and maybe I've just never done it.
You've mentioned CT Corp, but I'm like, how do I contact them? And then
I'll find out if I have a specific contact. If nothing else, I'll get you the generic contact.
Okay.
But I think as Peter moved now, they're going to be the ones who will hopefully straighten out our address, et cetera, situation. Find out what's happening in Seattle. Find out
if we should ask
standing where, with Delaware.
Do we want to keep them as our mailing address and then have them do forwarding for us? That'll probably cost us something.
It does. It's not horribly expensive. It's a couple $100 a year, I think.
Okay. Do we want to add that to the motion that if it is under, I don't know, $300 a year, that counts as the reasonable amount?
We can't add it to the motion, but we can make another motion.
Make a new motion to include that as part of it.
I'm indifferent to that because it's no longer my problem.
And well, since I'm the chairman of the board and running the meeting, I can't make or second a motion. So
I move that we give John the authority to decide whether he would like to use CT Corp as our
mail forwarding
agent. And that we pay them, if that seems to be the thing that we should do, up to $300 a year.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. On that motion, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, motion carries.
So whoever talks to CT will get the deals, and then we'll lay it out. And if it seems reasonable, then John can execute on that.
If we have to do a conference call or something, I have 18 different ways we can do a conference call to make that happen. So,
yeah. I've dealt with them several times over the years. They're usually pretty easy. I mean, basically, they're happy to receive our money, so they're pretty easy to deal with. Although they don't, as I said, they're structured to deal with businesses who have money and concerns, not with nonprofits, right? So on the other hand, they have waived a number of fees and stuff over the years because we're a nonprofit. So.
Okay, well.
This seems like a good chance to jump in. Earlier, Ethan, can you guys hear me all right, first of all? I didn't get a microphone set up. So Ethan, you mentioned something about questions between like Delaware versus Washington. I did a quick search here on the Secretary of State for both states. Like, we're not listed at all in Washington. We are, of course, in Delaware, as we would expect. From my very dusty recollection of Business Law 101 from a decade ago, I don't think it's a thing that you could be incorporated in two states normally. So I'm reasonably
confident. I've been incorporated in two states before, so it's definitely a thing.
Okay.
What that tells me is if we were ever incorporated in Washington, it's expired. The way that works is, well, I shouldn't say normally. In my limited experience, the way that works is you have a state of incorporation and then you are a foreign agent in another state.
Right.
But you have to file to become that foreign agent, and you often have to maintain that status. So what that tells me is if we ever did, we no longer are. If you didn't find anything.
So we can probably forget about Washington State. Like, we're a Delaware concern, and, you know, we need to deal with the address, but I don't know that there's any Washington thing to
clean up to do there.
In all the time that I've been on the board, we've never had to deal with Washington State in any way.
I have never done anything with Washington. Other than figure out where Sean lives. That is the only thing I've ever done with Washington State. But I don't know, because early in this tenure, that was not my job. And right. I never got a piece of mail from Washington saying you owe us huge piles of money because you haven't filed your paperwork like I did from Delaware.
One thing I want to bring up to you real quick, regarding our address and stuff, since we have everybody here. A long time ago, I set up my Amazon Smile. If you don't know, it's you can set up a thing for nonprofits, so whenever you buy something on Amazon, they'll donate. I set mine to instant messaging freedom because I could. I don't know that we've ever received a payment from them, and I don't know who should be looking in how to make that work.
So
I don't think that's something that you called me after all of this is over.
I didn't catch what you said at the start there, sorry.
Oh, I said that sounds like it's something that should fall to me as either president or treasurer, since I'm technically both.
Okay. So I did some work to get us registered for Amazon Smile.
Okay.
I don't remember what happened with it, but I definitely had to send some forms in and had to prove that we were a nonprofit organization and et cetera. I will look that up. I need to start making a list. I will look that up and see if I know what happened with that. But as far as I know, I just filled out the information they asked for, and I've heard nothing about it since. We have never received a payment.
Okay. So I don't know how much of this goes to IMF, because before I thought that I could put IMF there, I was donating to a local charity. But as of today, I've generated $80 from it. So I don't know if
we may not have hit a threshold yet.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's why it's
the threshold on their website is $5.
Oh, well.
Okay. Then, yeah.
Yeah,
then
we should have gotten it paid out. We also are, I have to register us once a year. And this is the sort of thing you should know, John. I register us once a year with Benevity. And we have received money from Benevity. In fact, we've received hundreds of dollars through Benevity. I don't remember exactly how much, but I think 1 year we got like $500 or $1,000 matching contribution from someone who had listed IMF as a charity with their work, and their work had matching. So I know we have Benevity. I know I've done Amazon Smile, and I feel like there's probably a third that I have done. You'll start getting those emails once Treasurer at IM Freedom.
Okay.
Comes to you, John. And if any of those require information that you don't have, well, of course, let me know and I'll, find it. But most of them, the information that they want, they don't actually care who you are. What they want is the business information, and like anybody can upload it, and provide, because they want the forms from the IRS and the, stuff like that. I don't know that they've ever validated who I am. In most of those cases, they're validating the business. But at any rate, I know there's Benevity and Amazon Smile. Both of those we are definitely, as far as I know, registered with. As far as I know, it may be that Amazon Smile doesn't know how to pay us.
I think that might be the problem. The address does list Sean's address.
Well, then it's possible that Sean is getting paper checks.
Right? Well, whoever's at Sean's old apartment is getting
whoever
the paper check.
Used to be at Sean's address, yeah. Right? But at any rate, there are a couple of those things that show up from time to time.
Okay.
One more thing I wanted to mention that I forgot to mention in my earlier update. I've been working on creating archives. I've created Blu-ray discs that include every single file we have ever released on SourceForge and all that, and I have another one that is all of our repositories at the time I did it. I have two copies of each right now. They are in my fire safe. I keep meaning to and keep forgetting to send the other copy to John to sit in his fire safe. So that this whole Atlassian Bitbucket thing has got me going, I'm covering my bases.
So I would consider, and I don't want to make this somebody's job, but I would consider taking at least all of our releases and making sure they're on archive.org.
Oh,
I feel like that's a release series that might be of historical interest.
Yeah, I'm like one degree away from Jason Scott, so I can probably make that happen pretty easily.
If we're looking for things to do with our money, that's another one that I would throw out.
Archive.org.
Reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we? Yeah, we're in new business now. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still in new business.
So I kind of wanted to bring up that idea of that we had last meeting about paying me to do something, except I don't know how that's going to happen exactly, and I don't know that I'm the right one to make the motion or to bring it up. But since we're talking about money again, the whole COVID thing has kind of put me in a bind. So for those of you that don't know, March of last year, I quit my job to work on Pigeon full-time based off of savings I have. We talked about this a little bit at the meeting. And that's why one of the other ideas of having me do a proposal for money and stuff. Unfortunately, right before the whole virus and pandemic thing started, I had started looking for a job because I'm running short on money. And that's going to become a real problem here soon. So I don't know if that's something we can tackle, if that's something I should bring up or what, or does this go, do we change instead of putting a proposal for talking to? It's more the infrastructure stuff. I don't know, but I wanted to bring it up.
I mean, I think I am still open to, I guess I won't be an officer after this, but I'll still be voting. I am very much open to responding to a proposal because I know you have put a lot of work into this. And if we, insofar as we are a going concern, it's because you're continuing to work on keeping things rolling. So I'm very willing myself to entertain a proposal, but I think I stand the same place I did last time, which is we got to see a proposal.
Right.
Right. So we can make a decision.
So that proposal, so the problem with that proposal is so much of this is kind of seat of my pants kind of stuff right now, that it's hard to do a proposal. So that's why, like, I never did the talk to one like we talked about because everything changed to working on Bitbucket. So the question there that I have is, can part of that proposal include the finish migrating off of our old servers, migrating our stuff away from Bitbucket, that kind of stuff?
I think because, infrastructure is very reasonable. I mean,
okay.
IAM Freedom was intended from the beginning to support not necessarily the writing of code, but the
persistence of the product
of open instant messaging technologies.
Okay.
Right. And part of that, I mean, things like HG Keeper, that's a working viable thing, right? That, mm-hmm. you know, we're, that you've produced that mm-hmm. is a thing that now is out there that wasn't, right? I mean, right. I think this is all very reasonable in my opinion, my personal opinion.
Okay.
This is a very, I mean, if you want to make a proposal for, you know, nailing down our infrastructure and, you know, specific, like we need to do this, this, and this, I want to do it. This is how long I want to take. And this is what I think it's worth. Let's talk okay. about it. Right.
Yeah. See, part of what I was trying to get to, I guess I didn't convey it well, was can I reuse stuff I've already done in that proposal?
Sure. And I'd also like to tag in on this because I think I might have been the person actually asked for a written proposal or what in the first place. But I think given our previous discussion and what Gary's done for us in the meantime, I think we should consider throwing, you know, a couple of grand in his general direction, just as, you know, as a, because he's been doing work. There's no question about that. He's been doing work that, you know, has been supporting the project, and, you know, there is no proposal needed for stuff that he has already done. A proposal might be needed for stuff that he is continuing to do into the future, but I don't see there any there to be any real necessity for a proposal to prove stuff that he has already done, because the proof is out there already. And so I'd like to consider perhaps this is actually two discussions. One about does IAM Freedom, should IAM Freedom give Gary some money now based on what he has done and is visibly done, and yeah, and we can talk about some more in the future. That's my thinking on it.
I'm open to that.
And considering the amount of work that Gary has done on the infrastructure, I mean, he did all the legwork to get us the DigitalOcean infrastructure. He built HG Keeper. He did all the work to move our XMPP server into that infrastructure. He wrote the integration between Hub and Prosody. Yeah. And he's continuing to do work on the infrastructure to eventually get us off of Bitbucket and off of track onto something that's modern and sustainable and easy to upgrade.
The sweet, sweet irony that HG Keeper is served on Bitbucket right now.
No, it's not. It's still there. The canonical repo is on HD Keeper. I should just delete that and redo that. I'm not pushing to Bitbucket. There's no updates there.
You have to there several months, haven't you?
Yeah, I haven't pushed anything in a while. Go to keep.iamfreedom.org/grim/HDKeeper. That theme's a work in progress. It's mostly done. It's not completely done. It's not officially released yet, but it's getting there. I'm not logged in on this browser. But yeah, I'll do the redirect on Bitbucket real quick.
But considering the amount of work that Gary has put in over the last year and a half on just those infrastructure things, I would definitely be in favor of throwing him at least $5,000 for that ridiculous amount of work that he's put in. Because he's put in at least
work. I said $2,000 because I was underpitching it, and $5,000 was actually my thinking. And I wish to move the motion now that Iron Freedom give Gary, but disperse $5,000 US to Gary for the work that he's done up until this point in time.
I am thinking only because that is 1/6 of our total holdings. Not because I don't think Gary deserves it, but I just got to think about that for a minute because we don't have an income stream right now.
Right.
But on the other hand, neither does Gary, and he's doing work for us. So.
And just to be clear, I'm abstaining from all of this because it's conflict of interest. So.
We're not allowed to discuss while there's a motion on the table is the trouble.
Well, I'd say there isn't because it hasn't been seconded. Can I ask a somewhat related question and with a request to hopefully not bike shed this too long? Is it the opinion of, would it be a fair statement to say that it's the opinion of the board that IMF does not make technical decisions for the projects? For example, their choice of version control?
Yes.
Okay, so from there, we can conclude that since the Pigeon project is using HG, that continuing to do so is more of a Pigeon decision than an IMF one. And since there are very few viable other options, are we roughly in consensus that it's reasonable to self-host?
There are no other options. Am I incorrect on that? For Mercurial right now.
More or less, in my opinion. I mean, Gary could talk at length, but yeah.
I think the only reasonable option, in my understanding, is Mozilla, and we don't fall under their umbrella, right?
Right. And the only other potentially viable setup that I'm aware of is SourceForge, and we've been down that path before.
They there still was do Mercurial?
Yeah. There was another one that Robbie found, Robbie from Adium. And I can't recall the name right now. Codebase HQ is another one that does it.
Yeah, let's not consider anything that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
We already went with Bitbucket, which is like a real powerful organization, Atlassian, and they're already dumping us. So I think my conclusion is, yes, I think we either self-host or we move away from Mercurial. And that is not a decision IM Freedom can make. Although it may be a discussion that Pigeon should have at some point. I obviously like Mercurial, but I'm not an active Pigeon developer right now. So,
right. So I am of the opinion that we should switch to Git because that's where the action is, but that's immaterial from IMF, right? And like you said, more importantly, the person whose opinion matters is the guy who actually uses the thing, which is not me. So we have to give like significant weight there, but so what I'm trying to do is establish a reasonable chain here that like it's not IMF's place to dictate to Pigeon what Pigeon does. And therefore, I think the next question I have is, given that Pigeon is using Mercurial and that's what Pigeon wants to do, and our job is to support Pigeon and others, but I think they're kind of our first and foremost project. Is it reasonable for IMF to be the for IMF to support the infrastructure?
I think that's our primary charter, in fact.
I want to add that technically speaking, Adium is also mercurial. The Adium's project status is difficult right now, I think is the best way to put it. I was helping out a lot in their infrastructure. I don't want to air this drama. I'm going to try to touch base on them as little as possible. But they had some, I guess we'll say, somebody with an honorary title kind of overstepped what everybody considered their bounds to be. The project ended up on GitHub then. There was minor work, which stopped after about 4 days. So is Adium still mercurial? More or less? It's so, like, the reason all these tools and this stuff has been built in the way I did it this way was with the intention that it would be servicing both Adium and Pigeon, including libpurple, Talkatu, GE plugin, libgnt, etc. So to say that it's just Pigeon seems a little short-sighted. There's a lot more to it than that, and Adium is definitely still included in that. I have touched base a little bit with Robbie from Adium because they need some infrastructure work again. They have an expired TLS cert that I will probably be fixing, but due to that drama, I removed all access to Adium servers from myself, so I can't do that right now.
I never removed my own access, so I might be able to help you get back in there if you need to.
Gotcha. Well, I want to go with the proper channels.
But yeah, if nobody else is available, but they want you to have that access, we'll see if we can make it happen.
I should be able to give Gary whatever access he needs.
Okay.
That, or we can talk about it on the on Discord or somewhere. It's fine.
Sure.
So
then from there, let's say that Gary wasn't involved, like, to try to separate, like, the sort of conflict of interest questions. Yeah. If we were talking about paying, you know, some fee for IAM Freedom hosting, right? Like, say Bitbucket was still a thing for Mercurial hypothetically, but they switched from free to charging or something. Would we consider it within the charter of IMF to pay for that sort of service for the projects?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
In my mind.
And I agree. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. Like,
yeah. No, I think this is exactly the line of inquiry that we have to discuss, right? If we're talking about spending a sixth of our treasury.
Yeah, this is definitely a discussion that's been floating around that we've all been avoiding for way too long.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, let's be honest, that if we could have thrown some money at Bitbucket to stay there, we would have done it, right? But they're in fact just ending the service, right?
Well, and they're not just ending the service, they're eradicating any evidence that it ever existed.
Yeah. And I also want to point out that, and this is my big concern, and this is why I said I want to think about it for a minute. The biggest thing is that I do want to, I mean, I think we have to acknowledge that the conflict of interest specter is definitely in the room in this discussion, right? And we talked about that last time we talked about this, which is why we wanted the proposal and the et cetera, right? Was to make sure that all that's very clear. But it's also, it's not just HG Keeper that we're talking about, right? It is, you know, doing the lion's share of the maintenance on a number of parts of our infrastructure for a couple of years now, as well as the lion's share of the development work that's getting done for a couple of years now. So, I mean, I think we're not necessarily saying, you know, here, this is HG Keeper, right? We're buying HG Keeper's development, you know, or whatever. But I think right now, the reason it was framed that way is because that is the sort of thing that absolutely, you know, 6 weeks from now, our hosting goes away, right? I mean, it's sort of the most immediate thing that's standing right there. My only reservation, this comes from me being a cheap bastard, is that it's 1/6 of our total cash. And are we, what else might we use that on? We have not in 13 years. The single largest outlay we've had, which for context, I believe would have been more than 1/6 of our treasury at the time by a fair margin, was on branding and artwork, when IMF was newly formed. I don't remember exactly what all we paid, but I know that the basic branding and artwork before we, before the website themes and stuff like that, like just the Pigeon logo, if I remember correctly, I have the files right here. I can look it up. But I actually, I don't know if it'll be in these files because I might have been before we were actually I Am Freedom. But was like $1,200, which was a significant chunk of change. No, we spent $2,289.96 on artwork. And at the end of that year, we had $9,627. Logo design was $800-ish. Icon designs were $1,500-ish. No, $1,500 on the nose for that one.
So that's a quarter of what? That was a quarter of the funds.
Well, it was about a, it was between a fifth and a sixth before it was spent. It was a quarter of the remaining funds. Yeah. So for context, not without precedent, right?
And it's also more of a once a decade type expenditure too.
Yeah. If we envision that we can stick with this for a long time, for sure. I mean, look how well the branding has worked out for us. We haven't spent any money on branding in 13 years.
To be fair, I've spent a fair amount of money on branding.
Well, okay.
So
November 14th of 2006 is the last time we wrote a check.
Right. So I've taken that logo and put it into all sorts of other crazy stuff that I use as promotions on my stream to, number one, get Pigeon involved again, or bring Pigeon to people's minds, stuff like that. It is the majority of logos that are on our Spreadshop shirts or our Spreadshop gear and all of that stuff.
But that's making money, not spending money.
I've spent a fair amount to, number one, get stickers printed to then resell them that I give away for free. I've paid artists to update logos, stuff like that. I'm not looking for reimbursement. I'm just saying we have spent more money on
money on branding. Yeah.
Pigeon has spent more money on branding, not I Am Freedom kind of thing.
Yes, right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If I'm Pigeon's bank, then yes.
So, okay. There's some context. I think the first question we need to have, I think we need to answer this in two stages. One is, do we think this is a reasonable expenditure of I Am Freedom's money? My personal opinion is yes. Two is, but I'm not, I mean, I shouldn't say that now because I don't want to bias the decision, but I mean, is this a reasonable thing for I Am Freedom to spend its money on, right? Infrastructure, pre-hoc or post-hoc, either way, right? Is that a reasonable thing for us to spend our money on? And in addition, how much is it worth to us, with the side question of how do we feel about the conflict of interest concern? And I think this discussion is my response to the conflict of interest concern. We have to have this discussion. If we conclude at the end of this discussion that yes, this is something we want to do, and yes, there's a dollar amount we're willing to attach to it, then I am comfortable that that was an open and fair process.
I think it's pretty safe to say that had we actually gone out and contracted somebody independent to do this work, it would have cost us a significant amount of money larger than what we're proposing here.
Probably could have added an extra zero onto the end of my proposed figure.
Most likely, yeah. And we would also most likely have ongoing fees had we contracted with an independent person. Whereas this is a one shot because Gary's already done all the legwork. And we can also say that he was at arm's reach because he was already familiar with everything that needed to be done.
And also he did this without expectation of reimbursement.
Right. So now I think all that said, we've kind of absolved ourselves of the conflict of interest issues through this discussion.
If Gary jumps out, do we lose a quorum?
No, we still have five.
John, your host, right?
Yeah.
Can you put Gary in a breakout room?
How do I do that?
If you want to throw me host, I can do it.
Yeah. Let me manage participants.
Been teaching some classes on this thing. That's a good point. Then we can be very clear that there's no conflict of interest in this.
There you go, Ethan.
Okay, I have to accept that somewhere. Where did it come up?
No, it just said you're the host, so you are the host now.
Then why don't I have the breakout room control? Is that an education thing?
Oh, it might be.
Hang on.
Because I'm just an independent account.
Oh, you're not a I'm not using a business account.
No.
You just want me to leave?
Then we don't have breakout rooms. Yeah, can we call you back?
Piss off, Gary.
Yep. Bye.
Gonna do it the civilized way. But
Ethan, can you hand John back the host?
I can.
Just to be we'll all be.
Okay, yeah, I am the host now.
So, did you have a specific point you want to bring up, or do you just want to make sure that we're free and clear of conflict of interest?
The latter. When we discussed this before, we said our conflict of interest was like the IRS one, and I think that's, best practices are that the involved person should be not involved in the discussion, I guess.
In the discussion.
Right, and realistically, if we were having this board meeting in person, we would have asked him to step out of the boardroom. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I think John makes a good point. Like, I don't see any way that we could have paid for infrastructure. Like, almost any amount of money that we give to Gary is, like, within the amount of money we have, is likely to be, less than we might have paid anyone else to do this. He's been working on this stuff for months.
Well, more than months. I mean, from my point of view, if Gary had not continued to push on Pigeon specifically, and I mean, HG Keeper, I think I view as much more of an IMF concern because it's providing something that is really available. I mean, nothing is doing Mercurial right now, right? I mean, everything is dead. The HG Web is effectively dead. There's nothing, right? There's nothing. So if HG Keeper continues as an ongoing project, that's really a service to the broader community, in my opinion. But just looking at Pigeon, which is a project that we're supposed to be supporting, if Gary had not been pushing on Pigeon, there would have been no development on Pigeon in the last, I'm going to say, 5 years. Right? Development on Pigeon in 5 years. It's not made the progress I think all of us, including Gary, would have hoped it would make in that time for a whole host of reasons. But it is a living project that is at least generating ideas and movement in a way that it would not be if Gary weren't doing it. It would have died. So I guess what I'm saying is we're not even just talking about, if we're talking about paying in arrears, right? We're not just talking about since the last time we had this meeting. We're actually talking about potentially a span of time that goes back half a decade in my mind.
Right. And this infrastructure work that I've pointed out in particular, a lot of it has been going on for 2.5 years at this point.
Yeah. HG Keeper just seems more pressing because of the Bitbucket thing.
Yeah. And HG Keeper has been less than a year because he didn't start on it until right around our meeting last year. But still there, the Kubernetes cluster, all of the stuff associated with that, getting us on more reliable hosting than two crappy outdated VMs that we can't get to modern software. That's been going on for 2 to 2.5 years at this point.
And for what it's worth, is nearly done. Once the right. big bucket thing is done and he gets track moved, which in the worst case is just throw away all the track stuff and don't import it. But like once that's, you know, once he gets that imported, there the those VMs that you were referring to go away. The, right. the ones that we are on the ancient sort of technology that we can't update or whatever, they go away entirely. So that's nearly complete.
To be clear, I mean, I said I really think we need to discuss this, but I am comfortable with this idea, particularly given that we have the precedent of spending that size chunk of our war chest for in arguably less critical infrastructure in the past. I mean, don't get me wrong, the logos have been great, right? I mean, it's great to have a brand, it's great to have a product, but we're talking about a place for the project to live.
Right
now.
Yep.
So
I agree. It's the place for somewhere to live. And the other thing is that gets me a little bit about it is that we did ask Gary for a proposal numerous times and he didn't produce one. So I'm actually kind of rather pissed at him for not doing that. That he'd prefer, I mean, sure, we all prefer to do live streaming or play a game or whatever instead of write bloody documentation. I completely and utterly get that. But I think we need to be clear that this is a one-off and that for any future work, we do need some kind of, you know, proposal, etc. to, you know, to look at any future payments as well. We've got to be clear that this is kind of for the work that he's been doing and a thank you and all that kind of stuff. But we can't allow it to happen again.
Well, and I think more than that, I think we need to be clear just from the fairness to Gary point of view, we can't do this very many times.
Well, yes.
Next time, it's not going to be a sixth of our treasury. It's going to be a fifth. And the time after that, it's going to be a quarter. And then it's going to be a third. Right? This is just something totally. Unless there is enough renewed interest in the project that we have income, or unless we were to get back into Summer of Code, or that's where the majority of our money has come from, is developers donating their Summer of Code money to the project, right? I mean, out of that $30,000, you know, $3,000 of it is mine. and everybody else sitting here probably at some point has donated some to it at some point in time. But that stream has dried up. We made $148 last year. Now, we're not losing any money because of things like Gary and Luke and John and Richard and over the years going and knocking on people's doors and saying, can you provide us with infrastructure that we need, right? And so we don't have expenses, but on the other hand, this has to be one off or maybe one more time, right? And then we're out of money, right? We just can't do it. So we're out of like loose cash, right? We just can't do it. So, I mean, I think in the fairness of Gary, who doesn't have another income stream right now, it needs to be clear that that is the case, and that if there is something in the future that it needs a proposal, we need.
And to be quite honest, this is part of, it is a bit of a messed up timeline that we've fallen into since.
Weasel
ended up in the Large Hadron Collider. Everything's gone to crap, and so it is a special circumstance, I think, that we find ourselves in where the guy who's managing and looking after the IM Freedom infrastructure is in a position where it's going to be difficult for him to find new work so that he can continue to look after the infrastructure. So it's not just about, well, this is for what you've done in the past. This is about keeping him ticking over for another number of months whilst whole coronavirus crap sorts itself out.
I think that's the argument for not forcing a proposal for work in the future. Is to say, you know, actually this is right this particular minute particularly valuable to the individual in question, right? The paying in arrears idea I think is particularly
attractive
for that reason that you just said. But and also I want to say I agree with you on the why didn't he send us a proposal. I'm a little annoyed too, which he can hear about when he watches this video later. I think as far as the, I also have some sympathy for him not having produced the proposal, because right at the time that we said this is something that, you know, we would like to do, we got the rug pulled out from under us regarding our plan was to continue to move more services onto Atlassian.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not out of Atlassian, yeah. Right? So, I mean, I think it's real that priorities shifted in a way that...
And we all like documentation.
Had no reason to see coming, right?
Yeah.
But at any rate, I am comfortable with making this proposal. I am less comfortable with a $5,000 amount than I am with a proposal in general, but only because I have been treasuring this organization for 13 years, and every one of those dollars is personal to me, because we have gathered them one to five at a time, for 13 years. But I also do agree that if we were divided out into going rates, I mean, $5,000 is not a developer for a month, right? So it's not that it's unfair. It's that we have so little of it is my only concern. And if that's what people are comfortable with, then I am also okay with it.
In terms of the big picture, I said last year, like, I think, you know, if our reason to exist is to support these projects, I don't have a problem if one thing that we choose to do, and I'm not saying we should do this here, but if we choose to spend our money to zero, like, conceptually, that seems okay to me. The Agreed. One thing that gives me pause is actually, now that we're doing more infrastructure things, you know, are there more potential for underlying costs? Literally zero might be a little bit tricky when you have things like domain renewals and things like that, especially given that, like, the IM domain is so expensive, relatively speaking. I don't know if any of these are real serious problems. I mean, I guess if nobody will pony up for Pigeon's domain renewal once a year, like, that's probably project for some other reason then. But
I think that would play more into any secondary funding proposal to Gary rather than this one in particular, because we got the pressing Atlassian HG keep a move and that kind of stuff, and once we have the infrastructure settled down a bit more, we can then work out what the annual ongoings and after the stuff is done by the registered agent as well.
Yeah, and I want to say one of the reasons I gave my speech about history earlier is that I think that's part of the difference in my unwillingness. I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree, Richard, but my gut reaction is no, that pile of money has value in and of itself as a pile of money because we got sued. Right. And that may be a historical bias that is no longer relevant. Right. But I've been sitting in the seat for 13 years, and 13 years ago, that was a thing that was happening. I was on those calls. Right. I didn't actually sign the paperwork. I don't think my signature's on any of the paperwork, but I was certainly there and seeing that right happen at the time. And so I have that instinct that the umbrella value is there. However, perspective, probably that umbrella value is better served by giving that money to EFF or SPI or, you know,
archive.org
or something, right? Archive.org, exactly. Rather than us sitting on it, because then it's multiplied by the force of whatever other things they have going on, and it's available to other organizations, etc. So I don't know. I don't say that to say this is why I think we need to sit on a huge pile of money and you need to believe this, right? I say it more as like, that's why my instinct may be a little different, is that I remember when that pile of money was the whole purpose that we existed, was to have some change so that the next time we get sued, it wasn't Sean paying out of pocket or Eric paying out of pocket, right? Or whatever. I will also say, as far as ongoing costs, we have some ongoing expenses already. I have been paying them out of pocket for years. This seems like a good thing for me to be doing. We do have ongoing expenses in the neighborhood of $150 to $300 a year. In terms of keeping our various registrations and paying CT Corp and et cetera, which, as I said, I think might be overdue right now. But I have been paying almost all of that out of pocket for several years now. So we do need to keep a few thousand dollars around for the next couple of years of expected expenses, whatever we decide to do.
It's kind of like if we have planning another meeting around about August, September time, that money is still going to be there. There isn't going to be more expenses between now and then.
No more than $150 or $200. Maybe a little more, but not. It's in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and the future of the org gets kicked down the road a few more months, but that's proviso on a couple of these things being sorted out as previously discussed. So I agree. I agree with the caution that Richard's talking about. I don't think this meeting is necessarily, but it's probably more important for the next one. Am I making sense, or am I just out of coffee?
I'm fine.
I think you're making sense.
How do you feel about that, Richard?
I think it makes sense. I'm just trying to, I guess, in most of this, just try to ask like the right questions. Like I feel like I'm trying to.
Yep. I get that.
As a director, more than anything, I guess I try to think about this in terms of if, and I don't know about whatever drama with ADM, but let's set that aside. Like if ADM came to us and like say Pigeon was in a great spot and ADM was in a, you know, a similar situation that Pigeon is now, and like somebody's been keeping it afloat and you know, that's something we wanted to support. I don't see a conceptual problem with that, you know, with spending money to support the development of the project. I guess I do want to ask one question where I was trying to go earlier with the sort of logical chain of like, we don't tell them what VCS to use and then blah, blah, blah sorts of questions. It feels to me like it would have been cheaper in terms of time, if nothing else, to move everything to GitHub, for example. And so is there a concern, if part of what we're paying for is infrastructure, is there a concern that that's quote unquote undermined, I don't know, by
paying for the wrong thing,
that we're paying for the wrong thing, especially in hindsight, having not decided as a board to do that under the IMF umbrella. But if you weigh that against but you're also potentially paying for development, and you got years of development, and like Ethan said, $5,000 even isn't a month. Like, it seems to me like under any reasonable theory of what we're paying for, you can get to $5,000. Maybe part of what I'm asking is, what do we want to say that we're paying for? I don't. Does that matter?
I think it does, and I think we need to lay that out. But I also want to say on the Git versus Mercurial front, as you all know, I prefer Mercurial. I use Mercurial for all
kinds of Ethan
stuff. Yes.
Do you like Mercurial?
I love it. But I have asked myself that question over the years for a variety of reasons of should Pigeon be moving to Git for the mindshare reason. I prefer Mercurial stronger. I think it's a better project. I think it has a better workflow. I think et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not that Git is bad. I mean, it's not like if someone were saying, you know, you should use Windows because it's what everybody uses, then I'm going to say, no, it's just bad, right? Like, I'm not going to use it. It's just bad. But if they're saying you should use Git, and I'm like, well, it's also pretty freaking good, right? And the tool chains are good and the infrastructure out there is good. And that is definitely a question that I think the Pigeon project should be asking is, should we stick with Mercurial? I agree with your premise that that's not a decision IMF makes. And where I'm going to come down on that is Gary wants to use Mercurial. Gary is doing the Pigeon development. I don't see a compelling argument that switching to Git would magically get us contributors. If it did, that is a discussion we absolutely have to have today because Pigeon is desperate for new life. But I don't think that's what is slowing down the contributors to Pigeon. It's that IM is not as sexy as it once was. Multi-protocol clients are not as sexy as they once were. Now we have computers and we run, I mean, I've got how many instances of Chrome do I have running and all these freaking Electron garbage apps that I have running. Would I rather put them in Pigeon? Yes. Would today's 19-year-old rather put them in Pigeon? That's not clear to me, right? If Gary's ideas for where Pigeon is going come to fruition, will that become more attractive when they can have their emojis and their, you know, inline images and their voice and video, et cetera? Probably. And so my argument is that if it keeps Gary productive, working, and happy, he is our Pigeon developer right now. Now, I don't know what the state of the ADM project is right now, and I don't know if Matt wants to, you know, weigh in on that or not, or if there's any considerations we should be having right there. But from my point of view, that is argument enough to support sticking with Mercurial, particularly in that the hard work is already done.
I will just briefly say that as far as ADM is concerned, or at least as far as my knowledge of what's happening with ADM is concerned, there is nothing happening.
Yeah, that was my impression as well.
Can I just say, I've got an appointment that I have to get to in about half an hour. So I'm going to have to leave. So if we need any votes with me on it to keep the quorum, I am kind of running to a timetable here. And the meeting was scheduled to go until 12:30. Well, that's my time, 12, half past. Is my understanding.
I don't disagree with any of what Ethan was saying. I've got one other sort of due diligence question that I'd like to put out there. Are we concerned about any sort of precedent thing here? Like Gary's not the only one that's done infrastructure. John's done some, I think a fair amount. I don't know how much, maybe a lot. I don't know what adjectives we want to use. I've done some, I'm intending on doing some. I'm not looking for money on that. Is there any concern about, you know, Pigeon development or anything there? I'm just asking the question more so from
a... I'll loop that back to that this is a stressful time for... it's the time, you know, it's the whole COVID crap that's going on. And the guy currently doing the vast majority of the infrastructure work and that kind of stuff is stuck needing a job, and he's done a whole bunch of stuff in the, you know, so it's not necessarily about doing the work, although it is tied to the work of the infrastructure that he's done for IMF. It's that he seems to be the central coordinating point, and he's in need of a job, and he's in need of money and that kind of stuff. That's the reasoning behind it, rather than what you were saying about setting a precedent. Because goodness knows, the last thing I want is for zombie flu to start up again next year or something like that.
I also am worried about precedent, actually. I agree with you, Peter, but I also am worried about precedent. But... And I haven't done it in the last couple of years, but I've done my share of work on this project unrecompensed, right? And I also think that it's fair to point out that Gary's decision to make this his primary work was Gary's decision, right? It was not a decision that we had, and it was not a decision that we made. And it's not necessarily a decision that we were required to agree with. For me, I think the compelling argument is COVID-19 extraordinary circumstances aside, for a number of years now, any of the infrastructure work that any of the rest of us were doing, all the filings I've done, all of the whatever, none of us would have been doing if the project hadn't remained alive. And there's only one person that has kept that project alive in, as I said, I think 5 years is a fair statement to make. And if somebody disagrees with that, I'm willing to take that into consideration. But I think that's a realistic painting of the picture. I do think, going back to the precedent question, that we do need to make it very clear that this is not like a thing that we can frequently do, right? And I do think that this is opening the doors for potentially using our war chest to buy time, which is not something that we have historically done directly, although there is precedent for us accepting money from other organizations and using it to buy time directly, which is a little bit of a different thing. But we have done that in the past, bought development by receiving money from an organization that was willing to fund development and then funneling that through to someone who was willing to do the development. We did that with Tomas at one point. So I'm also concerned about that, Richard. I guess that was a long way of saying I'm also concerned about that. But I think for my own part, I also am okay-ish with it.
I'm just quickly Googling for comparison. Sounds like Summer of Code these days is $3,000 to $6,600 stipend. That is from a document saying 2019. Here's a Google, this seems more authoritative. 6,000 USD adjusted for purchasing parity, depending on where the student is.
Oh, wow. That's a bold move for them. Always before it was just flat.
Yeah, I think it's been adjusted for purchasing parity for a number of years now. We haven't been in it for a while, but that seems to be my recollection. So they adjust between $3,600 USD based on purchasing.
Oh, so U.S. purchasing parity is basically at the top end of their scale then.
Yeah, it can only go up 10%. And it can go down, I guess. Yeah, so, yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, it's more going down.
It sucks to be in Zurich.
They have a chart. What is it there? 6,600, and yes, that's hits the cap if you're in Switzerland.
Yeah.
So I don't think, the amount of money we're talking about is in line with, and actually slightly less than the Google Summer of Code stipend this year for a student tinkering on a project. Now I realize that's Google's money. It's not a nonprofit or whatever, but it's not like it's some outrageous amount of money.
Yeah, I think the $5,000, $5,000 is, there's no question in my mind that it's worth that. The question is it worth that to us when we have $29,000 in the whole world, right? I'm comfortable with it. So I think the question is, I think those are all good things that we need to discuss. But I mean, at some point, particularly if we're on the clock here, make a motion that we choose to compensate Gary for, among other things, HGG Keeper, the migration of our services from specific virtual hosts to a deployable clustered service set, and these other infrastructure things that he has done. As well as his ongoing development of, in particular, G Plugin and Talkatu over the last, say, year. But without specifying a dollar amount to be decided, if we think that's my motion, and if we pass that motion, then we will decide what do we think that is worth. So if someone thinks that's a reasonable way to approach this, please give me a second. Otherwise, counter motion or amend.
I'm withdrawing my previous motion, by the way.
Or I could just amend Peter's motion to be this one.
I will just go with yours because you were talking most recently.
Oh, that would get me so far in life.
I'm seconding Ethan's motion.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to determine whether we're going to reimburse Gary for that time and effort with an amount to be decided afterwards. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that's unanimous. Okay, and then to the next point, which would be the dollar amount that we...
How much do we think that $5,000 is a reasonable amount? Do we want to adjust that up or down? I honestly, nothing against Gary. not to have anything to do with, you know, the value of the work that he's done, but I would resist adjusting that upwards based on our fact that we have no income.
Right. My thought on it was $5,000 should be the upper threshold just for the continued viability of the corporation.
My view is that the continued viability of the corporation is not that critical if there's no projects for it to serve. So I don't mind, I guess, either way.
I think my pushback on that, Richard, would be that that's the discussion we need to have in the fall. And if we decide that actually the best thing for us to do is to hire a full-time developer in the fall and blow the organization out by spinning it down to zero, then let's do that, right? You know, or whatever. But I think we need to think about that and have that discussion over a longer period of time. I'm not prepared to make that decision today, right? I guess I didn't walk into this planning to make that decision, and I'm not prepared to make that decision today. I agree with your basic premise, but I think that's the discussion we need to open in the fall.
Yeah, I don't think we should be making that decision right now either.
Well, I mean, just as far as that's my intuition for not wanting to push the dollar amount higher.
Yeah.
At this time, right? Matthew, you unmuted it. Did you have?
Not specifically, but I mean, to me, the 5,000 seems like a good number.
Peter said he had the number in mind previously. I think John mentioned the number.
Yeah, that was the original amount that I was aiming for when we first talked about this last year. And I know, like you said, Peter mentioned that was the number he had in mind, but he didn't want to say it originally.
His dollars are worth some crazy amount anyway, so. Okay, so I don't know that I want to make the motion because I made the last motion, and I do want it to make it clear.
I'll move the motion that the value be $5,000 US.
I'll second that.
Okay, and so we have a motion and a second to make that amount to Gary, $5,000.
$5,000 US.
Right, sorry. $5,000 US. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Ethan?
I said aye.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Okay, so then that's unanimous. And then we mentioned earlier that we should make it clear that this is a one-time thing. We can't do this, like, regularly.
We simply can't afford to do it unless we either decide that we're closing the organization,
right,
or we secure additional sources of income.
Right.
Maybe one more time, and I don't know why I would even pitch it as maybe one more time, but like in general, I think it needs to be clear to everyone involved, including ourselves, that this is obviously something that we can't do a large number of times.
And there would have to be a proposal, a written proposal on what is, yep, you know, what is going to be done and that kind of stuff.
Agreed.
Right.
So I think, should we let Gary come back here? If Peter's leaving in 15 minutes, or has somewhere to be in 15 minutes, I think, then I think we should make sure that if there's any other business we need to take care of, that we...
Just get Gary back in. I think we're right.
Yeah, I think we're actually done with all the business that we needed to actually conduct.
Just bring him back in to say goodbye.
Yeah, that's quite okay with me, because to be done with the business we need to do, because
I live on Zoom
now, and it's okay to not be on Zoom sometimes.
I send him messages on a couple.
Yeah, protocol. He's coming back. Okay. Yeah. He's trying to figure out how to get himself unmuted.
I'm getting there. Hold on. Where the fuck did that go?
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
All right, we should be good.
If he turns his system off and then on again, he might have other problems.
Can you not hear me?
Yeah, no, we can hear you fine. Okay. So the long and the – well, John, this is your meeting.
And so we did it as two motions, but we are going to give you $5,000.
Thank you.
And we just want to make it clear that this
$5,000 US.
Right.
We're not giving you any of those fake foreign dollars, Gary.
But we
want COVID carriers.
We want it to be clear that this isn't something we can do a large number of times, because I mean, obviously our funds are limited.
Right, and, understandable.
And anything in the future, we do need to have a written proposal to actually disperse anything in the future.
Gotcha.
Ahead of time.
And then we also mentioned that we should think about this before we have another meeting about whether we do want to dissolve the corporation and spend everything down to zero in that next meeting.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Essentially, the sorry, Gary, but I want to say this. One of the concern that I brought up as far as how many times we can afford to do something like this is we either need to decide that we're willing to spend our war chest down or secure sources of income. Yeah. Either one of those frees up our hands a little bit, but until we make a decision one way or the other or come up with sources of income, we used to have regular income. We know ways to find regular income, but we don't have it right now. So
gotcha. Yeah, there's a lot of things I've been dragging my feet on. Like, what is the one? There's the big like open source one a lot of people do, and I can't think of what it's called right now. Summer Code, yes, but there's another one I can't think of at the moment. I can get back to it. It's not important. But number one, I want to say thank you, everyone. That means a lot, and I very, very, very much so appreciate it. I do have one question. Is that going to come with a 1099? Or
how yes, it them? Will.
Okay.
I'm like, yes, I got to be able to 1099.
It's a tax form.
Yeah, I've got to be able to report the income somehow.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that, it'll anything over $600 has to come with a 1099. Okay. So it will come with a 1099, which sounds deliciously like John's problem to me.
Yep.
Although, if we make John handle this, then that pushes it back probably a couple of weeks.
Why is that? The 1099 is not due till...
No. Just that he won't have access to the bank for a couple of weeks.
So you better
write the payment. The payment.
Yeah.
That's a question. It's not clear who the treasurer actually is as of April 21st.
Well,
of 2019.
Treasurer at iamfreedom.org now goes to John.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like John's problem.
I took care of that during or while I was not in the meeting.
Although Matthew can also cut a check if need be.
I guess.
I don't know what the process is to do that. Go to the bank and get cash, I guess.
No, we can do it online, I'm sure. I'll look into it.
If you need me to do anything, just let me know what I need to do and I'll make it happen.
But it's totally going to be a paper-ass check.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter to
just
me.
Just for Peter. Just for Peter.
That's going to be...
No, Ethan. I want cash notes. I want lots and lots of cash notes that are covered in cocaine and COVID.
Excuse me.
That sounds like work.
Serious question. That's obviously pre-tax. Or I shouldn't say pre-tax. That's obviously with...
I'm responsible for the tax. We are not prepared to make any withholdings of any kind.
Okay, right. So
we do not have the appropriate... status with any state in order to pay payroll. So it is a 1099 non-employee disbursement. Right. So you will
deposit whatever it would be, 5,000
employment taxes.
Yep.
And okay. Which would be FICA, MedFICA, you know, that stuff. Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah.
Potentially that's between you and your accountants.
Yep. Yep.
And income taxes at the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah, that was my concern, is that I'm responsible for the income tax.
You'll be responsible for income tax.
Or not concern. Yep. It was, I want to make sure that is the case.
That's understood. Yes. We are not, we literally cannot.
Yep.
Because we don't have, we're not set up for payroll.
Gotcha.
That's something that you have to set up with the state and blah, blah, blah. And we would actually have to set up in both Delaware and Wisconsin probably.
Yeah.
And
it's a total nightmare.
Yeah.
It would actually take us so long to do it that by the time we could get the payment to you, it wouldn't be worth your time.
Plus, gotcha. That opens up a whole other can of worms if he's an employee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many
cans. Although, then we can fire him.
Have fun? Question mark.
That's what I usually tell my employer is, that's fine, I'll just resign. So yeah, it'll just be a cash check, $5,000 on the button.
Okay.
At the end of the year, you'll get a 1099. And all the other details are between you and the state of Wisconsin and the United States of America.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much, everyone, again. Greatly appreciate it.
And maybe Australia. I don't know. We'll see if we can get Peter to bring Australia into this somehow. And if we get Ian on board, that's also New Zealand.
Do we know anybody in Canada?
I'm almost in Canada.
Isn't Elliot in Canada?
Yeah, he's not on the board, though. But yeah, we could get Elliot in on this. And, yeah. True.
Look, if you want to write a PHP later, I know some of the lead guys on PHP, so...
Hang on, Peter. I got something for you right here.
There's a license issue there. seriously, though, for a PHP loader, Ian brought up to my attention a long time ago, there's an embedded PHP 5 interpreter called PH7, and that could work. Somebody could do it. I'm not going to do it, but somebody could.
Anyway, no, this PHP guy is the guy I know is in Canada, so that's I was going to get you some Canadian dollars.
Gotcha.
Just want to point out here, Peter does have to get
going. He times out in just a couple of minutes. So is there anything else we should cover?
I have a couple of questions from like the infrastructure update, but it's not pressing, you know, in terms of time.
Okay, so actual business we are done with at this point then?
I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that sounds unanimous. The meeting is officially closed.